Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So I told you that we were going to, I was going to introduce you to our esteemed business panel. They're with me here this morning. Delighted to be joined by Louisa Meehan of Woodview HRM and Robert Whelan of Rockwell Finance. And Robert, congratulations on your recent award. Best CEO of a small business. There you go. That's some honour.
Thanks very much, Bobby. Yeah, delighted. But obviously, all the credit goes to the team.
Good man. Well, well said and well done. So we'll start with you, Louisa. It's election time. I think basically the summary of all of what's been going on, I was away for the last couple of weeks, so I'm kind of getting myself up to speed. But most of what's on the table around the current status of our upcoming election is on the front page of the Irish Times and in the editorial in the Irish Independent. Voters are preferring Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil coalition, so the polls are telling us.
Yeah, I mean, the polls seem to be very clear that we're looking for stability within the country and we're looking for consistencies. So I don't see a huge shift in terms of the parties that are in government. They're saying that 45% want to see Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil form the basis of the next administration, with Simon Harris stepping a little bit forward in terms of being the most favourite choice for Taoiseach. It's interesting that the Greens are seen as 26% of people not wanting to see them in power, but that jumps to 40% of people not wanting to see Sinn Féin in power, which is quite a lot. And in the Independent piece, there's quite a nice line, because, you know, we're not seeing a huge amount of shift, but the line here is, so yes, we have seen some theatrics, but for the real pyrotechnics, we may have to rely on the Independents. So it'll be interesting to see what the Independents are going to do in this election.
Oh yeah, they're going to be a big cohort this time around.
They're going to be a big cohort.
Robert, your thoughts on where we are now? Very eloquently put forward there by Louisa.
Yeah, I suppose when you contrast it with what's gone on in America over the last couple of weeks, the Irish people seem to be going for centrism.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the vast majority, are 45% want to see Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael.
So it's interesting, if you look at the sort of the radicalisation of America has had an impact on this side of the water, whereby people say we don't want that.
Yeah, it seems
so. Let's go back to more of a conservative type of centralism, as you call it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I suppose, reassuring, because in business, what you want is stability.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the last thing you want is volatility, because you need to be able to plan. What jumped out to me was, just interestingly, of Simon Harris now is the most popular leader, which Micheál Martin, that would have been a particular platform he would have claimed for a long time. So he's at 34%. But interestingly enough, because you wonder, does news reach the mass market, so to speak? And the recent troubles of Sinn Féin, 32% of people said in the Pat Leahy piece that it would make them less likely to support the party, which just goes to show you it obviously has had a direct impact, the latest news.
When I was looking at the editorial, something that jumped out to me was that, you know, basically in government, the two main parties have been presented as two sides of the same coin. Mm. So the fact that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been in coalition, they're finding it very hard to step apart from each other, and there's this kind of
war. It is hilarious when you watch them. You know, you're watching them on RT or Virgin, and they're doing these debates, and you're looking at them going, "Lads, for fair juice to you to actually keep it up," but effectively. Yeah. It's just
with each other. I mean, they have to be friends.
Yeah.
And they're going out publicly and dissing each other. So it's challenging.
Yeah, but the simple truth is, as the editorial tell us, it's hard to see a pathway to government for one without the other.
Absolutely.
And that's,
they're best friends.
Yeah, there you go.
And something that wanted to jump out was nearly 20% of current TDs are not running in the next election. Just from that Independent editorial. I found that was very interesting. So there'll be new blood. There'll be more TDs in general as a result of the census. But you're seeing, so we should see a lot of new, hopefully fresh ideas, fresh faces. But
and a lot of independence.
Definitely a lot of independence.
Okay, well, that's That's our bit on the election. Let's look at the economy, because the Irish economy forecast to contract slightly this year by the EU Commission, and we'll come on to the fallout from Trump in a minute. But this is the EU, Robert, saying that we're going to contrast slightly. And again, they look at GDP, they look at what's it called? MMD.
MDD.
Modified domestic demand, which is, I suppose, a better barometer of how things are, because it strips out multinationals.
Absolutely. And I suppose from the business community's perspective, that's the number you'll always look at, because that's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose there's two ways of looking at it. We were just chatting before and we were saying, like, there's two ways of looking even at the headline. Okay, economy forecast to contract slightly this year by EU Commission. All it means is we'll grow a little less than they said we were going, but we're still growing, okay?
Yeah.
And growing from a spectacular high.
Yeah.
So, but the MDD number, they're saying here in the Ronan Smith piece, MDD is expected to expand by 2.7% this year, 2.8% next year, and 3% in 2026.
Yeah, they're good numbers.
They're really good numbers when you consider the base that they're coming off of.
Yeah.
So, the labour market is expected to remain tight over the coming years, with inflation expected to remain low. So again, despite everything, and the EU is a different situation. As we know, Germany, France and Italy have their own difficulties. So Ireland's doing well. I think it's okay to say that.
We're certainly an outlier in a positive way, Louisa.
Look, completely. And if you go back to the conversation we were having about the election, stability, consistency being really important. And this is demonstrating that, you know, ranging from 2.7% to 3% for MDD over the next 3 years. That's really good, positive growth. It's stable. There's no high peaks. There's no low troughs. And yeah, it may not be terribly exciting, but it's positive and it's secure for businesses and you can plan.
Yeah. Let's move stateside now and look at the impact or potential impact. And there's a couple of good pieces on this in today's papers. The first one is by John Burns in today's Irish Independent. He's saying that the Trump import tariffs could affect up to one third of Ireland's exports. Now, that's kind of a scary headline at one level, Louisa. But our exports to the US make up, what is it, 31% of all our exports.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a very, very big figure.
It's a very high figure, and it's increasing. It's increasing as we progress. The majority of that figure is coming from the pharmaceutical and chemicals industry. But when you break it down, what they were saying is that last year Ireland shipped 10,000 euros worth of goods to the US for every man, woman and child in the country. That is a lot of export when you break it down per capita. And they're saying that, you know, the issue here fundamentally is that what we export to America is far in excess of what we import from America. So there's a deficit from the point of view of the
And the piece that leads on to that, which is a kind of a good stat that helps, I suppose, put it into context, is that on a per head basis, it's more than Mexico and Canada, the two countries that they are plugged into the United States. So we're sending more goods to the US on a per capita basis than Canada or Mexico.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
It's mad, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah.
Incredible.
But even for small businesses that I would work with, you know, might make, I don't know, candles or some small item, a lot of them will try and get export to the US market. Like people who do paintings and art, they export it to the US.
Well, what I took from the John Burns piece was just an interest, and Kieran Coonahan has quoted, he's a statistician with the CSO, that exports to Great Britain have fallen by 13% in the first 9 months of 2024, while exports to the US have grown by 28%. So this is the Brexit pivot.
Yeah.
So Irish business successfully rode Brexit, and it's a tremendous credit to Irish business, but there's obviously other headwinds, and we went over to America, but now we're faced with these.
No, but you're dead right that we've displaced the GB exports with American ones, and that's a positive thing that we found another market. yeah, absolutely. Let's move to Cliff Taylor's piece, because he tells us about this chap, Robert Emmett Lightsitzer. He's tipped to be Donald Trump's trade czar. He's written a book And he doesn't like Ireland, Louisa.
No, he clearly doesn't. And he's talking again about the trade deficits that we mentioned. But there's a really simple example that he provides in relation to intellectual property. And we'll have all heard about US companies putting their intellectual property in Ireland, and therefore we get the profits and the tax. And he breaks it down really simply. So he says the US company moves their intellectual property here, licenses, copyrights, etc., to its Irish subsidiary. Then it produces a drug which might be manufactured here at the cost of, say, 5 cents per pill. The Irish subsidiary then sells the pill to the US parent company for $10 per pill, and that parent company sends it to the American consumers for $11 per pill. So therefore, the vast majority of the profit is declared in Ireland and it is going to pay Irish corporation tax.
Yeah.
And that's the crux of the issue here, is that we get the lion's share of the profit.
Funny enough, and I was in America recently, and the word on the ground is that Trump won't reduce corporation tax to 15%.
Right.
Again, that was just the and no, he might. Mm-hmm. But again, some people I were talking to saying that he wouldn't do that.
That's interesting.
So we'll see.
Yeah, like this guy wouldn't be a fan of Ireland, this tiny island he refers to. Robert Emmett Lightsaber, Darth Vader, I think he's known as to us. He wouldn't be a fan, but I suppose if you took the general tone of it, it would be the creep towards American economic nativism. Cliff did a great summary, and he was just basically saying about, it's been like watching trains moving on two parallel tracks this week. Ireland, the general election promises are racking up. In the US, Trump proposes policies which would pose a danger to US investment in Ireland and take a chunk out of those tax revenues which needed to be paid for all these pre-election promises. But these two lines may not meet before the next general election, but you have to reckon the trouble will be coming the way across the Atlantic. But a bit of hope in Cliff. He did say that, ironically, Trump's tax reforms in 2017 further encouraged some of the firms to enter the times of arrangements that Louisa spoke about.
Yeah.
So he says one thing and does another.
And just finally on this piece, imagine a 60% tariff increase on Chinese products. What's going to be the effect of that?
Well, we were just saying, I remember debates when I was in UCD as a student about free trade. And the one that ended it was free trade stops wars. Because when you're trading with somebody and you depend on somebody, well, then you're going to try and find some sort, and you're talking to them. So that's the worry for that one.
Sarah Jessica Parker endorsement helping Strong McGee clothing showing, according to Gordon Deegan. It's both in the Irish Times and indeed the Irish Independent. Nice picture there featuring the McGee brand. Beautiful tweeds from Donegal. The numbers, I would have said, slightly disappointing relative to the headline, Louisa.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a story of two halves. I mean, the piece around Sarah Jessica Parker, it's phenomenal. She bought a coat that was €575 and it's basically sold out online, and they're still talking about a coat that one person bought in July 2023. So that's the positive story. The other side of it, though, is that this is an organisation that's been around for many, many, many years. Their turnover has reduced slightly, but only ever so slightly, by about 200,000. But their profit has reduced by 1 million. Yeah. And the issue here, and it's something that I hear from small businesses in many different sectors, is that turnover is high. And they're working really very hard, but costs are escalating. Yeah. And so the margin is decreasing. And that's the core message that's coming through from a business perspective in the story.
Yeah, so 65% from 1.7 million to 603,000 last year due to other factors.
Yeah, but like there is a story out there with just margins are being squeezed. And there it is.
Yeah, you can see it in black and white there. Yeah. And particularly when you... It's very frustrating to be growing sales and to be seeing profits dipping.
Yeah,
because
it is.
You're busier standing still or going backwards.
Yeah, and that's a message that I hear all the time, is that, you know, we've never been this busy, but we're not making a lot of money.
Hmm.
You know, I have to give a shout out that they do talk about the shop, the McGee shop in Donegal Town. And being from the northwest of Ireland, now granted Leitrim, not Donegal, but I do know the shop and it is absolutely worth a visit. So if people are bored over the Christmas period, it's definitely worth going up and supporting an Irish retailer.
And it really is a lovely line of Irish clothing.
It is
fabulous
beautiful.
Brand.
And a beautiful export product.
And very, very high quality clothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, reading in today's mail, an article about every shop owner has been a victim of crime, a study reveals. And, you know, this is a business story because the knock-on effect of shoplifting, of violence, of threatening employees in retail is truly staggering.
It's huge. Like, this to me is probably one of the most important stories in today's paper, because it's affecting everybody. Because if your local shopkeeper is no longer profitable, then you lose your shop.
Yeah.
That's how community. So you have to start with that basis. But what shocked me was, and it was a really good piece from Adam Pogrund, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, where he said that they referenced this Flora Crowe, who's owner of Crowe's Grocery in Six Mile Bridge, not Dublin City, Six Mile Bridge, County Clare. Her shop was the target of 3 armed robberies in 10 days.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's
Wild West stuff.
It is. Yeah. And it's incredibly costly, because obviously businesses have to replace the stolen stock, but they have to pay staff more to work in the shop. So this is back to increased costs being passed on to consumers. But the 100 people replying to, 100 out of 100 saying they've been victims of crime.
Yeah.
And 89% saying that crime is becoming increasingly dangerous.
But even the working environment, like to consider the working environment, yeah, and to go into work every day,
yeah,
and to know that you're going to be threatened and spat at, or people are going to steal stuff from your shop. It's really dark.
Well, I live in Glenealy in Wicklow, a tiny little village. We've got a gorgeous ice cream parlour. And earlier this week, people broke into it. Now, it was at night time, the staff weren't there. But when they arrived in the morning, you know, the shutters were up, they had to go in. They didn't know if the people were going to be there or not. They were scared. And I was talking to the staff afterwards, and they absolutely were scared. And they were like, you know, why were they breaking in? What did they think they were going to get? You know, were they looking for a 99? Like, you know, yeah, they stole some Lucozade. It's not worth it. And these are grown men that were driving a car. Now, luckily, they got the registration numbers, so hopefully they'll track them down. But this is happening across the country. If you talk to any of your local shopkeepers, whether it's your large supermarkets or your smaller boutique shop, they will all say that shoplifting is an issue. And, you know, we were talking about the sort of New York zero tolerance element and having guards in the street. And I think this really is something that we have to choose as a country to invest in, so that there is a very strong guard there presence and we stop small crime.
Yeah, and what is Helen McEntee saying, that
she was saying that there was a 20% increase in prosecution and shoplifting.
Yeah, but what about like, the actuality of
exactly
how many crimes are actually being committed here? Robert, Michael O'Flynn is building houses in Glanmire. I think he had applied for planning permission here on this site before, but now I think there's new infrastructure around the Dunkettle, Glanmire area, and it's good news for the people of Cork. 550 homes in Glanmire.
Yeah, great news.
Yeah.
And like, obviously the number one issue that's going to be on the election agenda is housing. Everyone's talking about housing. So 550 units is really strong. It's interesting to see that he'd had permission refused in 04 and 05, despite getting local permission. So it was on board Planalla. So I think ultimately what this is a sign is that hopefully institutionally in this country, we're getting into the actual problem, which is planning, the planning laws. And but this is really good news. 550 residential homes, a childcare building, which is critical,
yeah,
if you want to attract families in there.
And nice open space around
us. Open space and a river on the nearby area. And we're just saying, I hope it's not a floodplain, but I'm sure it's not.
I'm sure it's not. A story caught my eye in the Independent Review today about the pub that gave the blue light to the smugglers to land their contraband. And I'm a great fan, as many listeners will know, of the Irish pub, the Blue Light, up in Barnacullagh. I don't know if you know it, Louisa. It's a place I haven't been for many years, but I it's a great pub.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, I haven't been, I know it, because it's in a most beautiful part of Dublin. The views are spectacular, but I haven't gone in. So I am absolutely going to be going in over the next few weeks. This story warms the cockles of my heart. It is just beautiful. And I thought you were going to say there that you had a lot of time for the smugglers of old. But, you know, it's talking back to the customs officers in Dunleary Harbour clocking off, and a light was signalled from Dunleary up, and then it would signal back so that they would know that they could go and get the goods off the
Great story.
It's a lovely story, and it makes this just seem like a really warm, friendly, welcoming environment. And on a good news story, they were saying that the owners were saying that actually they were not necessarily struggling, but they certainly weren't doing particularly well. Then COVID hit, and COVID did them the world of good, because all of a sudden people started walking around their local areas and were like, oh, there's a pub here, let's go in.
Yeah.
And so COVID actually
there's a big trade around the, around the trails and the walking community.
Exactly. Yeah.
The main bar was warmed by a turf fire. I love to see that. Robert, you know this bar.
I do. I know it well. I was recently there at a stag party, but the stag was 51. So it just goes to show you, we weren't in coppers. We were up in the blue light. But I absolutely love this pub, because when you walk in, they make you feel, it's that homely feel. But the turf fire and a pint of Guinness, sure, what do you want? What more do you want?
No, absolutely. So if you get a chance, folks, go and see it. Just finally, a letter caught my eye in the Irish Times today. Top of the tree, from a tractor Heffernan in Rathmines. She says, for many years, my late husband and I had an annual wager as to who would be the first to spot a Christmas tree. The rules of the game were simple. The tree had to be in a private residence, had to be decorated, and had to be lit up. Today, I spotted this year's first, and it's an all-time record. Louisa, have you seen any Christmas trees?
I absolutely have not.
This applying is tractor, these rules.
You know, a tractor from Rathmines has, and I am delighted for her. If I see a Christmas tree before December, it kind of brings me out in a rash. But I did have a conversation at dinner last night with my family, because we have a visitor coming on the 14th of December, and we normally would put it up after that. But I'm like, do we want it up before? Do we want it up early? So there was a great debate in our house as to when the Christmas tree should go up, which is quite early enough for me to be even thinking about it.
Robert?
As a good country chap, it was the 8th of December.
Yeah.
So it was always the 8th of December.
After you did your shopping.
After you, did,
after you came up to Dublin and did
the shop. You came down, you put the tree up, and away you went.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I dread the thought of having to go up to the attic and get down the decorations. But I'll grasp that nettle very shortly.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.